Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. Dr. Joel Schultz, retired as a police chief, and he's in the beautiful state of Colorado. So thanks for being here on the show, Chief. Appreciate it. Also, Scott Steyer. He is a former Green Beret Delta Force member. He is with ArrowPrecisionUSA.com. Hey there, Tier Rifles. That is the handiwork of Scott Steyer. And, you know, this exciting stuff. And during SHOT Show in January, I was there in Las Vegas, and I put my hands on some of that stuff. And it was pretty spectacular, to be honest with you. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, Gaul is our title sponsor at Gauls.com. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, ArrowPrecisionUSA.com. That's Scott's company, and they are our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor, where we're reaching over a million people right now on stream. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Please check them out. They got cool gear, like the shirt that I'm wearing, and we don't make a dime off the store. The prices are low on purpose. They're dirt cheap. When I order something, I pay the exact same thing you guys pay, and so it's a great opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to get that mug to you, Chief. It's in the mail. And we've got FishOrlandoBass.com, and, you know, Zach with Fish Orlando, he has a bass fishing charter based out of Orlando, Florida. And when most people think of Orlando, we think of Disney, right? So it is Disney World in Florida. So if your wife and the kids or grandkids want to go, man, take them there, guys, and you have options. Do the bass fishing charter with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com, or, and this is where Scott starts to get excited, they have alligator hunting, so you can actually catch and relocate alligators. And so, yeah, see, that's what Scott's all about. So, so you're not killing the alligators. That may be a little disappointment for you, Scott, but you are catching and releasing, relocating. So it's a cool opportunity. FishOrlandoBass.com. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, FormerLawman.com, and also our very own Travis Sheets with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? You know, I've got a surprise article. Even our guests don't know about this one yet. I read Coffee and COVID at CoffeeAndCovid.com. Every morning, 7 days a week, and attorney Jeff Childress in Gainesville, Florida, puts out the publication. It started off as like COVID vaccines, you know, COVID-19, and now it includes political commentary and some great information. So it's titled the piece that I'm going to be covering, Kavanaugh's Attempted Assassin Identifies as Transgender. So there's some new information coming out that we're finding out, you know, from Coffee and COVID. And then we've also got ICE and Border Patrol arrest 800 illegal immigrants. Where? Chicago. 800, guys. Crazy. And they didn't want them coming. We're going to cover that. NYPD detective removed from Ryder Cup. You know, I may hold on to this one because it deals with the Secret Service. But there's an NYPD detective removed from the Ryder Cup after security breach. That's a weird story. St. John's County deputy shoot and kill a guy holding the gun after a neighbor reported a suspicious person. We've got police releasing body cam and 911 call before two officers shoot a guy that points a BB gun at them. California court blocks the full seizure of a murderer's retirement funds for restitution. I really want to cover this one, Chief, while you're on the show. I think you'll add some good value to that one. Suspect shot when he pins an officer between the vehicle and a wall during a welfare check, of all things. We got a family blaming police in Texas after the officer violates an order. He drives the murderer to the victim's home. Huge mistake. We should cover that one too. Body cam video shows a shooting involving an officer after a guy flees a traffic stop. And then Toronto officer, this is the one the chief was talking about. Toronto officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in the shooting that leaves a man injured. And that is going to be video number 5. So we will get through these. Hopefully, I know we're not going to be able to have time to cover all these, but we'll get through as many of these as we can. So let's cover the first surprise article that I had, coffeeandcovid.com. It's taken from Kavanaugh, attempted assassin, identifies as a transgender. And that particular one is going to be on a Newsweek article. So Jeff Childress is an attorney in Gainesville. He's a humorous guy. He writes these articles. He's got a newsletter that goes out every day. And guys, you know what? It's free. Look, I pay extra, so I get the one that comes out on Sunday. Monday through Saturday, those are free. And if you go to coffeeandcovid.com and sign up, you can get the free publications. And look, let me tell you, if you, it's kind of like the purpose of the show. We want to make people the smartest, among the smartest people in the room when it comes to the news, right? And we tell the news from a law enforcement perspective. This will get you to a great start. If you simply read this publication that comes out about 9 o'clock Eastern time every day, you'll be so far ahead of the game with any news topic, and you're going to know the backstory. He covers New York Times and the Washington Post. He goes to all the sources and tells you what everybody's saying so you don't have to. So he starts off by saying that 2 weeks ago, Newsweek ran a tragically predictable story, headline, Kavanaugh's attempted assassin identifies as transgender. I actually was unaware of that. The assassin, they give his name, which I'm not going to, is due to be sentenced in court actually today is when that's going to happen. So it goes on to say that back on June the 8th of 2022, when all this stuff went down, so we're talking really about 3 years ago, which is just wild. I can't believe time flies. And it's interesting how quickly we forget the facts. This guy, he gets out of a cab. He starts walking towards Justice Brett Kavanaugh's house. He's got a backpack, and in it, he's got a Glock 17 pistol. He's got a knife, zip ties, and burglary tools. And it says that he had flown across the country believing himself to be an agent of history, ready to strike down a sitting justice in his home. And the list that he had to kill included three conservative Supreme Court justices. Three. That's what this guy was going to do. It goes on to say that when he gets to this street, which is really quiet, he's startled because there are a couple of U.S. marshals that are on the porch of Brett Kavanaugh's home. He wasn't prepared for that. He gets rattled, calls 911, confesses that, you know, why he's there. The cops roll in, it's a cul-de-sac, and he surrenders himself and gets taken into custody. Now, they got recent court filings reveal that back in 2020, this guy confronted a different crisis that he was going through, this whole transgender, realizing himself, thinking he's a female, seeking medical care, confided his identity of this crap going on in a tight circle of teachers, his a trusted sister, and certain close friends. He didn't want his parents to know because he didn't think that they would understand, but there was a gender identity issue. Prosecutors now describe this guy as a would-be woman who imagined herself as an agent of destiny, studying three sitting Supreme Court justices as potential quarry. And he goes on to say that if the justices were no longer there, that he believed that the leaked Dobbs decision, and that's a problem with that leaker, by the way, but because that Dobbs decision leaked, you know, moving, you know, certain things like, you know, abortion, state decisions and stuff, that it might die along with the justices. And that was apparently the motivation, you know, behind killing the three conservative justices. And Childress goes on to say that we'll find out today at the sentencing whether the court considers this guy's transgender identity as a mitigating factor in trying to kill an abortion decision by killing a judge. The prosecution actually wants this guy to go away for 30 years. The defense attorneys are asking for only 8 years and 25 years of supervision, given that he did not go through with it. He surrendered peacefully, and he should not be jailed with men, is what their argument is. And so Childress also suspects, or he throws this out, and the chief may find this interesting. He wonders if the lawyer stopped just short of arguing that this guy's mentally ill. And he said that would have made the argument a lot more interesting because of the gender identity issue. And we all know the background and even the history involving that, where they actually did consider previously it to be a mental illness or mental condition. So that's why we have some new revelations in regard to this. But guys, how close did we come to losing potentially three conservative justices because a document was leaked? As far as I know, and I know that they were going to try to find the leaker, they've never identified the leaker, and that's a huge problem. But any commentary on this, guys? I was surprised to see it. Scott, you want to start us off?
Well, just to me, it just goes to show how scary that all this is. Okay, if all you have to do really is have the be crazy enough, I guess, or have the willingness to go kill somebody, and it's not that hard. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, look how close Trump almost died twice. Okay. Then you had the Charlie Cook thing. That's the scary part, is these average cowardly, weak, pathetic people still have the ability to kill others because they have this derangement syndrome in their head, you know, whatever, but that's the scary part. And so I think, you know, and going back to the Secret Service thing, these guys need to up their security. I mean, this is very, very, very serious. And then when you have people like this, that means that there is literally, you know, tens of thousands of people out there that think just like this guy, just look at the Charlie Kirk thing and all the crazy people that actually go, yeah, they're chanting this like it's okay. They're out there. And all they need to do is just go out and do it. I mean, that's the scary part. So, we dodged a bullet on that, but I mean, that would have changed.
We did.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me not to see. I think that we're partially at fault on this, and I'm talking to us as a society. There's a lot of people with mental illness, and you've heard us talk about it before. And while we're coming up for commercial break, hold that thought, guys. Commercial break, we're going to be talking about goals. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about our title sponsor, Goals at goals.com. And you know, guys, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And, you know, when you throw the online mix, it's like limitless, right? But here's the important thing. I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support us, law enforcement. I don't know of a company that is better than Goals at goals.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Goals at goals.com. I got some tactical pants in yesterday from Goals that are, I'm going to show them off in a minute. They're spectacular. But Goals is going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code that you can get 15% off your next purchase at Goals.com. It's radio15. So type in radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Goals.com. Guys, it's an amazing opportunity. Take them up on that. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And yes, they are our satellite sponsor. You know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. When it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Special Forces Scott Steyer. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. We have been talking about, we had a guy that tried to take out Brett Kavanaugh, and he had two other conservative Supreme Court justices on his list. And they just revealed that he identified as a female. And, you know, I think that I was, the commercial break kind of snuck up on me, so I apologize, but I had started to say that I kind of feel like we as society are a little bit at fault in this. And I mentioned all the time that when I started my law enforcement career back in the early 80s and in 83, there were all kinds of mental health facilities where people were getting help. And I noticed, over the decades that they started disappearing. And we call it Baker Act in Florida, where you take someone down for medical evaluation, and it can be voluntary, or you can have them temporarily committed to where they're being evaluated and over maybe a 24, 48 hour period. And then the people in charge of facility make the determinations after that. But it's whenever they threaten their own safety or the safety of someone else, where you can kind of do that temporary committal thing, or I shouldn't even say committed. You're really getting them evaluated. But that said, there are some people that are identifying as a alternate sex, and you know, that violates physical protocols, right? They're identifying something other than what they are physically, and you know, they need help. In the past, there's been some mental health treatment that they have gotten, and it's really no longer available like that, or even identified as that. They gender dysphoria. They've got all these dummy down names to make it more acceptable. And it's just I kind of feel like we have created the environment to where they're where they're kind of experiencing that. But here's the worst part about all this: you've got people that are suffering in a crisis. And then you've got groups that just throw that thought out there, which is what Scott was talking about. All they need is that trigger. And you start talking about communism and leaking, you know, Supreme Court documents. And then you have people on TV lying about how, you know, you can't, you can't identify as a male or a female, or, you know, you now you can't get an abortion anywhere, and they're just giving the power to the state. But you get people that either don't understand it, or that, or they bastardize the definition of what's going on. And that's that trigger for some of these people that are already off kilter a little bit. And then they go off and they start doing, they have these wild thoughts about taking out Supreme Court justices, maybe undoing some thing that's decision that's getting ready to go down, and that it triggers them. And I'm not saying they're not guilty or shouldn't be held responsible for what they're doing, but we need to do a better job of identifying these problems, giving them the proper label, and getting them the help that they need without all this misinformation, and just set the stage for all this bad stuff to happen. If we only, we had a doctor on the show that could help clear up this dilemma for us. Oh, Dr. Joel Schultz, can you give us your expertise on this?
Yeah. Speaking of mental illness, Scott revealed during the break that he's drinking mushroom coffee. So I'd like to know if there's any link there. But, you know, a couple of things about this, even though you just sprung it on us, flowered a couple of thoughts in my mind. First of all, is the confusion that you addressed about this whole transsexual, I would call it a crisis, because it's interesting that the attorney doesn't want to go, diminish mental capacity as part of his defense, because that would tend to indicate that his transgenderism was a mental illness, and we don't want to say that for the sake of, it sounds like hate language. And he doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go to a men's prison. So it's so convoluted, and we need to let the science, during COVID, everybody was told, follow the science, follow the science. Well, we were trying to follow the science, but it changed every day. Europe has finally come around, particularly the UK has finally come around to kind of put a cap on some of these radical surgeries and chemical treatments, because there's just the science is very, very weak about it. And I don't know what that's like to go through that confusion. I can't identify with that. I don't deny that it's, troubling, and people want to find a solution to their distress. But we really don't know what to do with this whole thing. We've been trying to find profiles of shooters for years, of assassins and school shooters and institutional attacks. And there just isn't any, but you do see a way disproportionate involvement of gender identity crises, with many of these attackers. It's just statistical. You don't have to make a judgment about what that means, but it's statistically, it is just so many of that personality involved. Then another thing, a third matter is the strain that protective services are placed under for all of these higher threats. So you said there were marshals there. We always think about Secret Service, but there's Capitol Right. Police, Supreme Court Police, U.S. Marshals. People are pulled in for all of these security details. Whether you're a fish and wildlife officer for the federal, you might be ended up on a crowd control kind of assignment. And I'm not sure that we've got that quite down. We used to think that the Secret Service had their act together and they had the expertise. But there are many, many agencies, including local agencies, that need to kind of up their game on gathering intel and on establishing a plan for the very rare event that a protected person is going to be attacked.
Yeah, I agree. Apparently, the marshal's office is in charge of the Supreme Court justices. And I don't know. And all this stuff is just becoming, I thought it would be Secret Service or something along those lines. But apparently, there's a lot of federal agencies, and so they're splitting the workload up. But thank God those guys were there. Guys, if it's okay, Scott, did you have something else you wanted to say? Are you ready to move on to the next topic? Or
No, go ahead. Let me move on.
Good. Well, you know, guys, I just got a pair of pants in from Galls, and Galls is now making their own tactical pair pants. So remember, you know, normally we would be going like 5-11 tactical or something like that. And so these pants, and I'm going to stand up in a second, but it's called Mission Made. So you're looking for Mission Made. These things are absolutely fantastic. And I mean, I got my headset on and stuff, but these things are comfortable. They're amazing. And you can go to galls.com and you can use that code radio15 to get 15% off your order. We'll be right back. Now, real quick, I do want to mention Scott's company, Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit aeroprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at aeroprecisionusa.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And in addition to that, their M5AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to aeroprecisionusa.com. All right, we got that. And great products in the tier 1, 2, 3 rifles. Man, I'm going to be holding one of those things up on the show one day and showing that off. That's what you guys need to be looking at, aeroprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. Yes, we still have Chief Joel Schultz and Special Forces Scott Steyard on the show. And look, when we left off, you know, I was kind of showing off my new tactical pants that I got from Galls at galls.com, and they're called Mission Made. If anyone wants to check out the new gear, go to galls.com and look for the Mission Made products. They got tactical pants, great deal, great material, great fit. And it is like on the money. When I ordered the length and the width, you know, of the weight, everything was just spot on. You know, sometimes you order things and they're like too small, or you got to order extra large. Not here. These things, and they come in different colors. I like the tan, but they got black too. So check those guys out as well. So look, guys, if you are ready to move on, let's talk about ICE and Border Patrol. WashingtonExaminer.com, ICE and Border Patrol, they arrest 800. Yeah, you heard that right. 800 illegal immigrants during a Chicago blitz. Now, this is, remember, the governor and the mayor did not want us coming. In fact, they're not only denying that there's an issue in Chicago, saying that Trump's just, you know, he's not welcome, he's not wanted, and they don't want their guys to cooperate with federal agents, right? So more than 800 illegal immigrants have been rounded up and arrested by federal police, not locals, from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so ICE and Border Patrol, during a September operation that targeted Chicago. So the Department of Homeland Security announced on Wednesday afternoon that federal agents and officers deployed to Illinois as part of Operation Midway Blitz. I love the names. Since September the 8th, they've arrested more than 800 people that were illegally living in the United States. And among the 800 people, you know, because it's Chicago, such a safe place, according to the governor and the mayor, these 800 people that were arrested in only 3.5 weeks, gang members, criminals convicted of what? Statutory rape. Oh, couldn't be. Fraud, aggravated criminal sexual assault. You're kidding me. Domestic violence and other serious offenses. But what about what the governor and what the mayor said? ICE launched Operation Midway Blitz in honor of Katie Abraham, an Illinois woman who was killed by drunk driving, hit and run guy. His name is Julio, but he was an illegal immigrant. And it kind of goes on to say that the governor, J.B. Pritzker, said in a recent press conference that none of what President Trump is doing is making Illinois safe. Well, you know what? I beg to differ. Scott, you want to start this one off?
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. I can't believe it's like these governors, they're just buckling down. That's like they are doubling down and like, no, there's nothing to see here. This is just, it's just amazing to me how all these years of just allowing this to happen, it became the new norm. So now when we're literally like, you know, Trump is enforcing the law, how it's like he's just some evil person. But the politicians to back that just blows my mind. These people aren't stupid. It's like, what are you trying to do? And I think the American people are really starting to see it. It's like they are clearly the Democratic Party is clearly protecting criminals and allowing this to happen. And it's like, what happened to the regular folks? So, I mean, kudos to ICE. They're going in there. 800. That is, I would call that a successful mission. Good on those guys. And I'm glad, you know, everything seemed to work out well. So keep it up.
And I know I'm jumping in before you, Chief, but there are some, you know, there are still, I mean, look, there are a lot of Republicans are where the Democrats used to be, right? There, you still have some Democrats that had their head on straight, like Fetterman and stuff. And I'll tell you, that's a guy that I've really grown to really like, to be honest with you. You've got some guys that have the head screwed on straight that are not supporting this woke, you know, agenda. They don't even like to talk about it. You know, it's almost like embarrassing to them. But yeah, when you hear about these radicals that are allowing this stuff to happen, it makes you scratch your head. But Chief, you'd have to agree that the answer should be at the polls, right? If you don't like what's going on with your elected representatives, don't vote for them, vote for somebody else.
No, I'm always spritzer on this. I don't think that has any effect on crime at all. No, that's ridiculous. I've said this on the show before. We need a strong, viable Democratic Party because we need friction, we need debate, we need opposition, we need compromise, and you know, with the government shutdown, we see what that leads to. There's just no credibility from guys like the mayor and the governor and the Los Angeles mayor that's saying, hey, this nothing's happened. You remember Baghdad Bob when Iraq was being invaded? He was Hussein's PR guy, and he'd say, oh no, we are winning the war, we don't see any troops at all, while you know the town was being run over, you know, by our troops. Just lying in the face of facts. And Holman was on the air the other day, said that 70% of this 800 or whatever numbers in whatever city are hardcore criminals. They've got criminal records. And then that doesn't count the number of violent protesters that they arrested that were trying to interfere with the enforcement of the law, plus people that may have been on watch lists or terror threats or gang members, whether they had a record or not. So, you know, the Californians, liberals are saying that ICE is out hunting people, which is a terrible a way to phrase it. But they're just catching bad guys, and there's so many of them. And I really feel bad for the good-hearted, looking for a better life, paid thousands of dollars for a coyote to get them across the border. Maybe they didn't know any better. I think there are a lot of innocence. I know they're not innocent if they came across the border without authorization. But there's a lot of fine people that could gain citizenship and that could be productive, and they're the ones that are going to be suffering from the lawbreakers. And that attack on the Dallas ICE facility, where the people that were killed were the immigrants. I mean, it's almost a metaphor or a template for what's really happening. Is because of Biden's open border policy, where 12 million at least people came across unvetted, unvaccinated, and now we have to have these extreme measures to kind of get us back in control of immigration. It is hard on, you know, I would not want to be an immigrant who is trying to be a citizen and suddenly I have to look over my shoulder all the time instead of having had the process solidly in place, and I could have come here without fear in the proper way. So it's a mess being cleaned up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most Americans feel the same way. Like, look, I don't blame anybody living in a third world country or having, you know, hardship, wanting to come to America. I don't blame that at all. If I was in their position, I would probably do the same thing. The problem is what they need to realize, what they don't understand, is that they were being used by the Democrats. So that's why the whole open border, because they thought they were getting votes. They were trying to change the course of, you know, of the voting structure. They're trying to add, and they were flying them to strategic places like around the country in order, you know, any of those purple states that they did, you know, they could swing.
Electoral votes?
Electoral votes. I was looking for it. That's the problem. They were being used. And it's like, and yet Trump's the bad guy. It's like, finally, there's like an adult taking charge here and doing the right thing. And now he's the bad guy. It's like, I know it got out of hand. And I really do feel bad because the Mexican culture, it's so ingrained in America. It's so important. It's part of our culture. I love it. It's just, you know, you have, I mean, I always phrase it like this. Imagine if 12, 20, 30 million of, you know, white Americans went over to Mexico and started going, you know, filling up the hospitals, using the welfare system, you know, just draining all the resources, and then wanting to change culture, and then protesting in their streets against their own government. That's crazy. They would not stand for it at all. But again, this is all coordinated. And back to your point, like, the reason why this is so bad, it's the news stations. They're taking everything out of context and making everybody upset and mad.
Yeah. At least you're being offered the opportunity to self-deport, and they get back on the list and get back in the legal way. Guys, coming up on our next commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the deal. The founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Special Forces Scott Steyer with Arrow Precision. Are you guys ready to move on to a story with a video component? Am I moving too quickly for you guys? All right. Well, I apologize. The Bang Energy is kicking in right now. So we got Rumble.com. This is Butter, which is our favorite law enforcement video channel. I'm gonna jump, and we're going to go to the suspect shot when he pins an officer between the vehicle and the wall during a welfare check.
We're not.
Yes,
come here.
I'm okay.
Come here. No. Get out of the car.
Really?
Get out of the fucking car.
Get out of the car.
That's okay with you guys. Just I've been waiting to cover this story, and it's pretty good. So we're in Indianapolis. So here's what we got. This is November the 14th. We have Indianapolis Metropolitan Police officers. They respond to a call of an unresponsive guy that's in the drive-thru of a CVS. Okay. So he's in the drive-thru. Unresponsive. There is some humor in that, right? So after waking up and initially complying with the officer's instructions, this guy that ends up being a bad guy, Terrence Shane, he gets back in the car.
No. Stop it up. Get out of the fucking car. Get out of the car. He's taking off. Hey! Hey! Shots fired. 20 seconds to 7 up. Hey! Officer down.
So at that point, the driver's door is still open. He puts the car in reverse. And so to put the visual part of this in, the guy it's like a drive-through, but on the side where the driver's door opens up, he's got just enough room to open up the driver's door before it would touch this like red brick wall. And so the officer is there between the wall and the guy's car. So when he opens up the door, And he's out. He gets back in the car, leaves the door open, puts the car in reverse. Well, guess who's standing between the car and the wall and on the inside of the open door? It's the cop. So when he reverses, the officer gets pinned between the vehicle and the wall, and it hits the officer with the door. And it's a brutal video to watch, because you're just like cringing, like, oh crap, this like cop is like, looks like he's getting crushed, right? So it says, you hear shots go off, and I'm thinking, you know, you don't know what's going on. Well, there's a cop out of view initially, at least anyhow, that's trying to save his partner, and that guy shoots the bad guy, hits him in the arm at least once. The officer amazingly did not suffer any broken bones or significant injuries. So I'm going to jump to my show notes on this one. So the officer was actually giving commands to the bad guy, who was refusing the commands, and he got back inside of his vehicle, and there is a struggle. So the cop is trying to prevent this scenario from going down that way, but the guy was able to get the car in gear, and it starts backing up, and the cop is, you know, not in the car, and he gets caught with that door, and he gets wedged and pinned. And his partner, who's kind of off camera until they have another video showing it, he's the dude firing the shots, because you're left thinking it's maybe the officer just getting crushed, but it's that other partner. He hits the driver, who crashes into the wall. And then we have surveillance video that starts at 5 minutes and 6 seconds, and it shows the suspect backing up and the partner grabbing, shooting. And then he grabs the cop that's on the ground, drags him out of the way in case the bad guy decides to run over him again and stuff. So it's really amazing video from different sources and stuff. And the officer suffering no broken bones or significant injuries. That's just icing on the cake. Chief Schultz.
Yeah, you're right. That's a terrifying video. And having been hit by a couple of cars during my career, I kind of had a little bit of a flashback there. You know, I've talked about this before on the show, that V position that you're in between, you know, with an open door and the main part of the vehicle, that's just so volatile and so dangerous, because there's very little opportunity for retreat. And I'm not blaming this officer, because that's how you access the guy to assess him or to arrest him. I might have said, go ahead and jerk him back towards you and get him under arrest, and then he wouldn't be able to get back in the car. We've also talked about tactics where if you've got the possibility of a car moving and being used as a weapon, that you pin it in with a couple of cars, that presents its own tactical challenges, but that would have perhaps kept this vehicle immobile. And, you know, we went through a period of time, probably, 10, 15 years ago, where all the departments all over the place were saying, okay, never, 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 never shoot into a vehicle. And then we started seeing terrorist attacks with vehicles and cases like this, where a vehicle's being used as a weapon. And so there are just many exceptions. If you want to have a general rule, no, we don't want to shoot into vehicles, you better have a big asterisk on that policy, so that you have the opportunity to take action when you need to.
Good point.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I'll tell you something else. This is where the glove from Compliant Technology
would
work perfect. Why every law enforcement officer in America doesn't have a pair of these gloves is beyond me. I don't understand. These things are amazing, and especially with vehicle extractions, it's a no-brainer. You grab a hold of somebody's hand, their fingers, pull their neck. They are compliant, 100%, 100% safe, not going to harm anybody, and completely change the outcome within seconds. So I just think, you know, there are ways out there. There's technology like the glove from Compliant Technology, if it's employed properly with a little bit of training, very little training, because you're just wearing them, game changer, ultimate game changer.
Yeah, you can still fire a weapon with it too. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because that is one, it's getting to the point quickly that where agencies that don't, it's so readily available and affordable that, you know, you're going to have to start explaining to the judges why you didn't have it available when you're writing checks, you know, that are a lot more money than what it's going to cost to get it anyhow, you know, for your troops. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of videos out there where you see cops, they're engaged, they're fighting with the suspect. And literally, if they just had the glove on, everything would have been over literally within seconds.
So guys, here's what we have a choice for what we're going to cover. We've only got a little over 3 minutes, so we can cover the California court blocking the full seizure of a murderer's retirement funds because, you know, he had a spouse that was supposed to get the funds. We have a family blaming police in Texas because they took the murderer to the victim's home And then we got, you want that one? And then we got the Toronto video. So I don't know that we're going to have enough time for the Toronto video though. So you want to do the California one?
Yeah.
Okay. So TampaFreePress.com, family blames police in Texas after officer violates an order, drives the murderer to the victim's home. I'm going to cover this quickly. Family of a Texas woman murdered just days after police officer gave her estranged husband a ride back to her home in violation of a court order, has announced plans to sue the Arlington Police Department, and I don't even need to explain why. Mary Spears, 53 years old, was found dead in her backyard on September the 22nd. She had multiple stab wounds. Her son, 19, Ashton Spears, found her after her estranged husband, Frederick Spears, 55, who is now charged with her murder, was given a ride to the home by a police officer, an Arlington police officer. Frederick Spears had been arrested on September the 17th, and he was charged with aggravated assault after a Ring camera allegedly captured him holding knives and threatening the family member, according to Ashton Spears, who gave it to CBS News Texas. He was released on bond the next day with an emergency protective order explicitly prohibiting him from returning to the home or contacting Mary Spears. Despite the court order, Frederick Spears was reportedly given a ride by Arlington police, an officer, back to Mary Spears' residence to retrieve his car, and APD has since acknowledged the error. The department acknowledges the officer should not have arranged transportation back to the home. You think? We have a minute and a half. Dr. Schultz.
Unless the restraining order specifically allows police presence or a civil standby or a police escort, you do not have the authority as an officer to do something outside of that. You might want to do it for convenience. You might think it might prevent a problem. You might want to just be a nice guy. Let's get the guy, you know, let's let him get his car and go home. But the restraining order provides the rules of conduct and engagement for you, and you do not want to tick off any judges.
Wow. So my question is, how was that guy supposed to get his car? I'm just curious.
Well, it could have
too bad. Is my answer. Yeah.
What was that? Oh, too bad. Yeah. But yeah, you could get a third party, but you can't have a third party contact the victim or anything and try to skirt the order. But there are systems in play that you could you get the car, but the cop gave him the ride, and obviously the cop didn't stick around. You know, it doesn't say anything about the cop. You know, sticking around and staying the whole time, then the guy going back. So it appears that the cop dropped him off and left him there and thinking he's going to drive away. And then the guy ends up killing his ex-wife. For a reason. Yeah.
Okay. So I misunderstood. So he dropped him off and that's when he killed it. That's crazy.
Look, I'm making some assumptions because it doesn't go into great detail, but that's what it sounds like. And I wouldn't think the family, they would have a less likelihood to sue. But the chief said, it's not like the order says, you know, restraining order, unless a law enforcement officer wants to give him a ride back to get property. What if he has clothes there? You know, it's not, you know, they've got the guy in a Ring doorbell camera with knives and stuff, and they're worried about the safety of the family. It doesn't, you know, like the chief said, it doesn't matter. The judge tried to save a life and did what he, and did what he had to do. And the law enforcement just screwed that up. And they'll be writing a check. Hey, we've got just seconds. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Please check out Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. And thank you so much, Chief Schultz and Scott Steyer, for being on the show. We covered some great stuff. And thanks for the insight. We appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.